So as already been mentioned, we appreciate those that are visiting. Yes, my sister is here. Just be reminded that she neither has a very good memory or an accurate one. So if she says things, just ignore it. It's probably not true about me. Most of you here already know me, so there's nothing really she could tell you that you probably don't already know. And one of those things about growing up. But thankfully, my parents didn't kill me. Been talking about the fact that we need to know how to conduct ourselves. Now, why would we teach a lesson like this? We don't have elders here. But I want to say this. Some of the young people may be going places where there will be elders. And don't get involved in talking. Don't get involved in a lot of things that other people do. It'll get you in trouble. It'll lose your relationship with God. And that's one of the things he's going to talk about. And certainly as we've talked about this conduct that we should have, we first talked about the qualifications of elders and their responsibilities. Certainly if a man's not qualified, he shouldn't be serving. It's just a given. We need to be qualified to serve as elders. That is true of all men. We talked some about our conduct toward them and how we should be careful and how we treat them, even to the point of showing double honor. Now he's going to go further into this because we've already discussed some treatment of people in this when we've been discussing this. And you'll notice a lot of it's how you live your life and how you treat others is how God's going to treat you. And it's a given. It always will be. And every time we've looked at this, he then goes on to say, not only should Timothy do that, but he should instruct them in it. And Timothy should as well live that way. So he has talked about this, and we're going to go to the part of do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. He says you can make a proper evaluation of elders. You should have made that evaluation, certainly if you were there when they were appointed, but now that they are appointed and now that they're serving, make a proper evaluation. Be very careful. It's easy to mistreat them. Maybe you are angry over a decision they made that was opinion-based. Maybe they decided, well, we're going to start assembling for the good of the whole congregation at a different time. And you said, well, I don't like that. So I'm going to find something and I'm going to talk about them. Maybe he's upset over some discipline that was administered to maybe me or someone else. And I don't like it. I don't like that and I'm going to show them. Or maybe I just don't like them. Maybe there's an elder, I just don't like him. I just do not like the way he acts, and I just don't like him. And some may even have that I got you attitude. You get me, I'll get you. Christians should never have any of these. But unfortunately, sometimes, we don't always think things through. So he says, be careful. Be very careful. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. But wait. Paul didn't, Jesus, when he was on earth, didn't he explain this really well in Matthew 18, that if you have a fault with a brother, you go to that brother, you talk to him about it? Didn't he say if that didn't work, you take back two or three witnesses? Didn't he say if that didn't work, you take it before the whole congregation? Of course, the church hadn't been established clearly at that time, but he's talking to the Jews, and they should have been following this as well. They should have known. How should they have known this? Well, this was because this was something that had been around forever with God. None of us should have just accepted on the basis of, well, I like Abe, and you know, he said some things about Glenda, and they must be true. No. No. Be very careful. Be very careful in what we sing that song. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And then be careful, little mouth, what you say, because I'll tell you what, we get in trouble with God. This is over God, not us. There must be two or three credible witnesses. Not just witnesses, but credible ones. I don't go out and just try to find me someone and I say to them, well, you know, I'd like for you to agree with me on something. I need to get this person. And that does happen. But in Hebrews 10, in talking about even under Moses' law, they had died under the testimony of two or three witnesses. That is not always the case. So let me just point out a couple things. this rule that it was also established by Christ about how we should approach one another and how we should treat one another, and that we don't just do this, that I first approach the person even if it's between me and them. So if it's between even me and an elder, I approach that elder. That's the rule. But it's unlike those who accuse Christ. You notice what they did in Matthew 26:60. They found them two false witnesses. That's good enough, right? No. No, it has to be credible witnesses. Witnesses that you can trust. Witnesses that you can know. Unlike the ones who brought the woman to Christ in John 8. Well, there was more than two or three there. They'd caught her in the very act of adultery. Wasn't that good enough? Motive is also an issue here. Be careful with this. The motive on their part was wrong. They didn't really care about what the law of Moses said. There was two issues here. One was the fact they wanted to trick Christ, and the second one was, where's the man? The law clearly said that both deserved death. Why did they just bring the woman? Is it a get even, or is it trying to get someone to repent? And is it because this person has sinned? Well, sometimes they do. Elders are no different than anyone else. These bishops, these shepherds, they're no different than anyone else. Sometimes pastors sin. Sometimes these elders sin. Sometimes these bishops sin. They need to be confronted with it. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear. The whole congregation has a responsibility, whether it's an elder or someone else, in taking care of discipline. From 1 Corinthians 5, it was very important because, you see, seriousness arises when a little sin gets in the church. A little sin? No. When sin gets in the church, it'll destroy a church. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And what happens is, it doesn't matter where it's this young man who was committing fornication, living in sin, or an elder who's living in sin. Not an elder who sins. Every human being in a local congregation will sin. It's how he deals with that when he does sin is what's important. So, when he doesn't deal with it, and when you're aware of it, you want to talk to that man about it. Then you want to bring two or three witnesses, and then you want to do it correctly. And then if he won't repent, just like anyone else, you rebuke him before all. The congregation has a responsibility, not an individual. A congregation has it. It's not a matter of, well, you know, Roger and Mark decided that we need to withdraw from this person. That's not the way this works. God said it. If God said do it at a certain point, we need to do it. But it's a congregation. And the problem is it doesn't work sometimes because a congregation won't do it as a whole. But it's a congregation's responsibility, not an elder's, to withdraw. It's congregation's responsibility. But he goes on to talk about, be careful with this. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things. What things? The things I've been talking about. Without partiality. Without prejudice. Don't ever let that enter into decisions that are made. Don't ever let it be so. We've been studying the book of James. And it is such a critical thing. And we've talked about it. There are certain things, certainly, we want to be prejudiced about and partial about. We want to be partial to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think Brad had made the point, and a very valid point when we were talking about it. We men want to be partial to our wives. They're our wife. We want to be careful in all this when we make statements, but I cannot in a relationship, any relationship, whatever it is, show prejudice or partiality in how spiritual things are carried out. I can't do things in such a way that I don't like someone, so I do it that way. I just don't happen to care about them. I do like this other person. I've been places where elders were there. And honestly, one elder was like he was just perfect. The other elder, not so much, the way people looked at it. And I thought, that's horrifying. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works at all. This was important enough, that he wanted to make sure, I charge you, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Now, who's having this written? The other part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. All of them are saying, this is a charge, not a... Well, Timothy, you know, this would be a good thing every once in a while for you to talk about. Why am I talking about these things, eh? What's in God's Word? Why am I talking about these things today? Because we have young people here who hopefully will grow up And one day they'll be able to be in a congregation where there are men serving as elders, where they will know how to treat them. But let me tell you something, not just in the treatment of elders. This is a principle that applies to every person in here. We do not treat anyone differently. We don't say, well, I happen to like a certain person, so, you know, I'll let their sin go. But I don't like this other person, and I'm not going to let that sin go. You've never seen that in your life, have you? You've never seen anyone treat two people who are doing almost identically the same thing, and one of them gets treated well and the other one gets treated badly. No, you've never seen that. That would never happen. And it certainly wouldn't happen with Christians, would it? Well, he says apparently it would, and I'm charging you, don't let that happen. Don't ever observe these things that way. Don't ever do it. It's important enough that the Holy Spirit directed him to write it to Timothy, to preach it, and to teach it. So if it's that important, I need to do the same thing today. And be equally careful in either selecting or selecting someone. 1 Timothy 5:22, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. With this said, this is a broad statement that could cover a lot of all we've talked about. This is not some just random statement thrown in here. He's trying to say in this, people go, well, anytime it says laying hands, it has to do with a spirit. It does not. From the Old Testament, New, it can have anything from me coming up and grabbing a hold of someone, laying hands on them, to selecting someone or saying, you're my buddy, you're my friend. Showing preferential treatment, if you will, towards someone. He's saying, in all of this, whatever it might do, whatever you might do, don't do anything hastily. Don't just whatever it might be. Whether it's in listening to someone about someone, I believe this is the context, or bringing sins and fault to someone's feet. Don't do anything hastily. Why not? Think things through. You want to be treated that way? Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. You which are spiritual. Go to them. But consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. This is not, as Cody was pointing out, this is not some, hey, I've got it all together, I'm going to go now talk to someone. No, sir. I'm going to go talk to them in humility and explain to them, you know what, I'm a sinner saved by the blood of Jesus Christ too. I feel for you. I do things too, and I leave things undone in my life, but right now you're not getting rid of yours. You need to get rid of it. Get that sin out of your life. Don't live in sin. Living in sin is terrible. And people think, well, I'll just get by with that, and God's grace will cover it. It will not. What God's grace covers is when we are constantly in our lives trying to make things right with Him. None of us are going to meet Him with a level of sinless perfection, but we can certainly meet Him with being perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ, and His grace will be extended to us. But we've got to make an effort on our part to do that. So I've got to be very careful in this. I can't just share in other people's sins. In other words, I can't just get involved in things not even thinking it through. I want to ask you a question again. I already know your answer, if you're honest. You ever been caught up in something? You ever been caught up in someone talking about someone? You ever been caught up in it and all of a sudden realized, whoa. We're going too far. What happened here? And then sometimes you know it's too late, isn't it? So we'll think about take a feather pillow out and rip it up like that wind the other day and then go try to collect them feathers. You'll never get them back. Do you want to be involved in that? Is it worth it to us? Because I'll tell you what, he clears it up, doesn't he? Keep yourself pure. Our tendency is we not only do it, we teach our kids to do it. And pretty soon they're doing it to their friends, and they're doing it to their friends, and it's pretty soon, you know how this works. We talk about it all the time. Someone starts something. It won't finish good. I can promise you. Teach your kids right now. You have a fault with someone, go to that someone. Not to everybody else. Is that the way you want to be treated when you do something? You want to them to go to everybody else before they come back to you? By the time it comes back, it's so blown out of proportion. I tell the story. It's kind of humorous, and I want to tell it one more time. Little town. Man was a plumber. And he rode a bicycle in the town, and he would take his tools on it, and one day he was doing a work across from a bar, and he put his bicycle right in front of the bar. The gossip in the town said, so-and-so was in the bar. He was drinking. He was doing all these things. You know what he did? Took his bicycle the next day and put it in front of her house and left it all night. I'll tell you what that'll teach you. Be careful what you say. Because what now? What's she going to say? You see, we do not need to just suppose things. That's that awful judgment we talked about this morning. We are judging unrighteously when we judge people that way. And we really don't care about them if we don't go to them. Because what we're saying is, it's worth more to me to let someone else know than it is to let them know. Would you want Jesus to do you that way? You know what Jesus did? He talked to them directly. He told them about their sins. In this case, be careful. We need to make sure we keep ourselves pure. No guile. No anything in my mouth. Have I been guilty? Absolutely, and I'm ashamed of it sometimes. I look back on my life and it's so easy. It is so easy because we get caught up. We get caught up. Either way we look at it, we do it hastily. We get caught up and we share in other people's sins. You want to share in someone else's sins? I don't want them. I got my own. I don't need more. I don't need added on. I need to be repenting of my own and confessing them to God. I don't need a lot more sins. I need to keep myself pure. Then he goes on. And someone says, well, this was just thrown in there. There's no way this should have been involved in this. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Honestly, it's like the word baptism. I wish they would have translated it properly and done it correctly. This is one time I wish they'd transliterated it and used the word oinos. It means anything from grapes, grape juice, press, or alcohol. It's called an oinos press, a wine press. You don't press wine. You press grapes, and you get grape juice. So what we've got here basically is, some would submit that it's okay for a preacher to be maybe slightly intoxicated if it's for medicinal purposes, for his stomach's sake. And they say, well, this was medicine. Let's look at a context here. He's already told him to be careful how you approach elders. He's already told him to be careful in what you get caught up in other people's sins. And now he's saying to the preacher, it'd be a good idea if you just drink a little, as long as it's for your stomach's sake. You're over at my house. And I go over and I get my wine out and I drink a little bit. And I said, I want to talk to you about the gospel. And you say to me, what are you doing? Well, I'm just drinking a little wine for my stomach's sake. Drinking some alcohol. It'll help me loosen up a little bit when we're talking. Person says, I've had a major problem all my life with alcohol. Matter of fact, I'm alcohol. I drink so much wine, some days I don't even know where I'm coming from. And I say to them, well, wait. It was okay as long as you drink just a little. Well, you know what started the moment? Drinking little, thinking. It wasn't because they started out drinking a lot. So people say, well, that's got to be what this means. Do you know alcohol irritates the digestive system? Did you know that Rochelle, the other three weeks ago, she'd have just went ahead and drank her little alcohol. You talk about she was miserable. She'd have been even more miserable. I had a friend almost died from this. He had stomach problems and he drank alcohol. And I'll tell you what, he ended up in an emergency more than once because he wouldn't quit the alcohol. Let me just show you this one. Go online for yourself. They'll talk about the good use of wine, but I'm going to tell you one thing it does not do. Any alcohol, if you have digestive problems, does not work. Put simply, alcohol irritates your digestive system. Drinking even a little, this isn't me. Drinking even a little makes your stomach produce more acid than usual, which can turn into and cause a gastritis, the inflammation of the stomach lining. This triggers, maybe this was Rochelle a few weeks ago. Not sorry, that's accusing her without two or three witnesses. I'm just kidding. This is sad, really, for anyone that has this problem. But if you do it and you do this for it, you can see the problem. Tummy pain, vomiting, diarrhea, and in heavy drinking, even bleeding. And that's what my friend had. In the longer term, alcohol is associated with an increased risk of cancer of the mouth, tongue, lip, throat, stomach, pancreas, and colon, says Dr. Moriarty. Other digestive problems caused by drinking too much include acid reflux, where stomach acid burns your throat. Alcohol can also contribute to developing a peptic ulcer, a painful open sore in your stomach lining. That's from drinkaware.co.uk. And think about this a minute. This is the United Kingdom. This isn't even the United States. This is doctors that are honest. This wasn't for some Christian organization. This is from people who study this. But on the other hand, something that Rochelle already knows. Grapes and grape juice play an important role in our digestive system. Even in the role in dyspepsia. They relieve heat, cure indigestion, and irritation in the stomach. They are also preferred over other digestive aids because they're considered a light food from organicfacts.net. So, which one are we going to do? Are we going to take the word oinos and we're going to always make it alcohol? Or are we going to look at the context and we're going to say, what's he talking about here? Well, I'll tell you what I think he was talking about. He just got through talking about elders. And he said when he was talking to elders, I truly believe that means to stay away from all of this. And now he's telling Timothy, you can't do that, just like he did with deacons. Timothy wanted to be so sure of his life that he was just drinking water. But he's saying, yeah, we can't concern ourselves now with people who will take out of context and you're drinking some grape juice or doing something like that and they say, well, he must be drinking wine. We can't avoid all of that. Now, we can try to, but we can't because if people want to talk about us, they would. And this does not open the door for any kind of medicine. There are too many people too addicted on too many things. Our addiction should be for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for things that will heal our bodies. And being very careful in not doing those things that are wrong. This does not leave out God's part in healing. In James 5, 14 and 15, if you're sick, you call for the elders of church. This goes back to this. And I am certain that Timothy was there and the elders had already been appointed from Acts 14. And he probably had them pray for him. And so he did that and it tells what to do. And it even says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will raise the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Why then was Timothy not healed from his stomach issues? Well, there are several reasons. What we find is that sometimes God's grace is sufficient. God answered this in a positive way. There's a reason why. He wanted this for a reason. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul had prayed three times. His prayer was answered. God always answers prayers for the faithful. And the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes in all of this, grace, we don't completely understand, do we? Cody, he talked about that in the class. We don't understand God's unmerited favor. We don't understand the fact that He gives us what we don't deserve. But Timothy was struggling with something. And I do not believe in any way, if it was stomach issues that Eric said here, that he told him, just put a little alcohol in there. I believe that would have been the worst thing he could possibly have done. Now, why do I think that? Well, by the way, this shows the gift of miraculous healing is going away. I truly believe that from the context, and because of the restriction of elders concerning being close to oinos, it would let us know that the same restriction does not apply to Timothy. He's not an elder. He's being told, do this. Drink some grape juice for your stomach. His use of non-alcoholic grape products was not restricted by the Holy Spirit. I think he was trying to be such a good young man. He wanted to do what was right. Just like we sometimes. You know, they make those fancy drinks. You can get them in the restaurant. They're non-alcoholic. You know why I don't order them? There's nothing wrong with them. But I don't order them because I'm afraid someone sitting around me will think I'm drinking alcohol. I don't even want to give a show of something. Is it okay for me to do that? Absolutely. There's no alcohol in there at all. But if you walked in and saw me drinking it, most of you would know, well, Abe's not drinking alcohol. But there might be some other people that I want to teach that might think I am drinking alcohol. And I believe that's exactly what Timothy was doing with this. It had been restricted at times, as we know, with like the Nazarites and others. Completely restricted. Any grape products whatsoever. I can't tell you why, but it was. But I want to say one other thing. This is something that, if indeed it was okay, we might have a conflict. Because in 1 Peter 4, he talked about the fact, Peter did, that we've lived enough of our lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles in verse 3. When we walked in licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, either drinking parties or wine bibbing. You know what that is? That's not guzzling it down. That's just sitting around sipping your wine together. But he said, we've spent enough time doing that. Let's don't do that anymore. And abominable idolatries. And he said, they're going to think it's strange you don't do this anymore. And I got to tell you something. How would I sit down with someone who's an alcoholic and tell them, it's okay for me to drink a little, but not you? How do you differentiate with all of this? I don't know. Now he talks about the fact then there are two ways that things could be exhibited. So, in your evaluation of someone else, sometimes it might be very clear. Some men's sins are clearly evident, or conspicuous, or out there in the open, preceding them to judgment. I don't think he's talking about eternal judgment. He's just talking about preceding them to a judgment of what they're doing. In other words, you can judge that that's what they're doing. You're saying, Abe's out there doing this because I saw him do it. Okay? It's evident. Everybody knows it. But those of some men follow later. You might not find about other people till later, but what is all this about? Well, same way with good works. Good works are the same way. Good works aren't one of those where I do something and then I pat myself on the back and I say, good job, Abe. That's not what good works are about. So you might know it, you might not. I don't know. I will guarantee you everyone in this room did some good works last week. I also guarantee you I don't know what they were. They just weren't evident. I didn't see them. But God does. And that's what he's talking about here. So what he's simply saying is, make a conscious effort to look at someone's life before you do all of these things that I've been talking about. Before you make a judgment call on something. And same way with Timothy, before people make a judgment call on you. Because sometimes it's conspicuous or it's open or we know about it. No problem with that. We can certainly understand that. But sometimes when it shows up later, when some of these happen and you think, well, everything was fine and dandy, but it's not. Now you find out this person's in sin. That totally changes things. But the same rules apply up at the top, by the way. You still don't go out. You still do it the right way, the way God wants you to. Well, why has this been brought up in this context? Well, all these things previously discussed are not always as easy to discern as one, someone might think, are they? What do you know about me? Many of you said you can find more out about me how? You can talk to my sister. What does she know about me? She only knows what she's observed when I was growing up and a few things since then. She hasn't really been around me a lot in recent years, and you could ask her a lot of questions. She'd have to answer truthfully. I don't know. What does Abe do this? I don't know. I might tell her I do, but then she'd have to say, well, he told me he did, but I don't know. Don't know. That's why it is so important when we're talking about judgment and looking at things and looking at people. Don't ever judge someone not realizing you can be judged the same way. Be very careful. All of this is being very careful. He's telling Timothy, live your life in such a way that no one can say anything. We realize the elders are worthy of double honor. Double honor because you're observing their life. You are judging their works. You're seeing what they're doing. And guess what? This elder's out there working hard in the congregation to teach others. And he's also working hard to serve the congregation. Be careful with your accusations. Be careful with your selection and partiality. Be careful in misinterpreting what one is doing. Oinos are grape juice. Be careful. What he's saying to him is, what are you drinking? Timothy, go ahead and drink some. I would say in context, for sure. Go ahead and drink some grape juice. It's good for your stomach. Go ahead and do that. You can't worry about what other people say. Because I'll tell you what, it'll show up in your life one way or the other. Or, he's saying, go ahead and drink a little wine. You might get addicted to it and things will be fine and it'll mess your stomach up. But you really think Paul's saying that in the context? It's up to you to decide. All Christians have a responsibility to work in the local congregation. In Philippians 1, he talks about the saints, the bishops, and the deacons. All of us are in one place. I happen to fall in the category there of a saint. I'm one who's been set aside for God, sanctified. But I will tell you something else. All of us are equally responsible in those that are selected for elders. You know why they do that in a local church? You know why you would want to check? Because Glendon knows things about me that Cody doesn't know. And vice versa. I know things about Glendon that Cody doesn't know. So it is a valuable thing. So what we do is whoever's name is put up, we would go to that person individually and get a chance to talk to them and say, there are some things I'm concerned about. Or there's some things I think you're just wonderful about. So in all of this, we have a responsibility. But once there's elders, each one has a continued responsibility in how they treat them. We also have responsibility in how we live before them, knowing that they watch out for our souls as one who will give an account. How would you like that responsibility? How today would you like to go home knowing that everyone that's a part of this local congregation, you're going to have to answer to God for? I hope and pray that we one day have elders here. Whether I'm here or not, that's why I encourage the young men, live in such a way that one day you can serve as an elder, whether you want to or not. Get those qualifications, because I'll tell you what, that'll make you happy. 1 Timothy 3 will make you happy. Titus 1 will make you happy. You'll realize it's not you, that with God's help that you can meet those qualifications. And I say treat those men who serve well with honor. But today, honor God. Today, honor the real king. Today, honor the real shepherd. The one who is over the rest of the shepherds. Honor him by being obedient to his will. If you have any needs, we'll help you in any way we can. Would you please stand?